This is Incident, Coincidence, Pattern, a Pot Together 2016 project written by Lacey McBain and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and is gin, with additional tags for hurt comfort, fear-mongering, action-adventure, angst and humor, brothers, protectiveness, protective siblings, rescue, bad family. This story is the sequel to Bird by Bird, which has also been podficked by me, so you should check that out if you're interested in even more Robin family feelings. Jason Todd was in a narrow, dark, frighteningly familiar space, and for a moment he thought he must be dreaming. He'd had this dream before, the wooden sides of the casket pressing against his palms, the low ceiling overhead, and he could almost taste the stale air on his tongue. He was dead, or at least he was supposed to be, and as he pounded against the hard surface above him, dirt drifted down into his nose and mouth. Real dirt. Fully awake, he choked off the scream that was starting. This wasn't a dream. Jason felt around the interior, checked for wires within his reach or anything that might make the tin box explode if he tried to get out. He never could be too careful with a crazy element. Feeling nothing, he let his head fall back against the wood. No one was going to hear him 6 feet under. No one was coming for him. He'd learned the hard way that you couldn't rely on anyone. Not even Batman. Okay, time to assess. He was in a pine box, buried who knows where, and he could probably punch his way out of it and crawl through the dirt to the surface. He'd done it before, but then he'd been half out of his mind with terror and possibly brain damage, and he hadn't been thinking about anything except getting out. This time, Jason had the disadvantage of being perfectly aware of how screwed he was. Someone had put him in a box. He refused to think of it as a coffin. Coffins had cushions and satin lining. This was plain wood, unvarnished pine. Some villain had definitely cheaped out on him. He was probably going to get splinters. At least, Jason figured, he'd be able to bust his way out of this crate without too much effort. He still had the scars on his knuckles from when he punched through that mahogany monstrosity he'd been buried in the first time around. Nothing but the finest for a Wayne, even an adopted one. Even one who had screwed up and gotten himself killed. Back then, once he'd pushed free of the wood, he'd been overcome with dirt, had to hold his breath and practically swim to the surface through a sea of earth and mud. It had been raining that night, and thank God. It had probably made his job easier, although he would have been pissed if he drowned in muddy slop trying to claw his way back to life. The last thing Jason remembered was going to sleep in his own bed. That meant someone had gotten into his apartment in spite of his security and Oracle's monitoring system. Someone had drugged him and taken him somewhere and fucking buried him. But they'd apparently left him his cell phone. Jason grabbed the phone that was lying on his chest and tapped the screen. Light flooded the small space. He blinked. Whoever had grabbed him had left him the phone for some reason. Was he supposed to make one last call? Ask for help? Tell someone he loved them? As if. Was the bastard who did this to him going to call and taunt him while he breathed his last? It was Gotham. It wasn't outside the realm of possibility. Did they give him a cell phone to trace just to lead someone to the wrong location? He didn't know what kind of sick mind he was dealing with. If he had an inkling of who had done this to him, he might know what he should do next. Steady, he told himself, breathing slowly and evenly. He used what little light the cell phone cast to scan the interior of the box he was in. Then, he took a deep breath and dialed a number he knew by heart but used rarely. As Jason counted each ring, a feeling of hopelessness started to build. On the sixth ring, voicemail picked up. "Christ," Jason said, genuine panic starting to run through his system. It wasn't that late. Of course, Dick was probably still out on patrol. Jason had come in early because there hadn't been much going on, and he was tired. With any luck, Dick was having his call patched through to his comm. He waited for Dick's annoyingly cheerful greeting to end. "Dick, it's Jason. Pick up, okay? I'm in trouble."
"Jay?"
A familiar voice cut through the phone, and Jason had never felt a greater sense of relief in his life. Maybe he had a chance of getting out of this alive.
"What's wrong? Where are you?"
Someone's buried me." Jason's voice came out sounding shaky and scared, and damn it, he needed to hold his shit together. He was the Red fucking Hood. There was a silent pause from the phone.
Did you say someone buried you?"
"I'm in a goddamn pine box." Jason hit the lid with one fist, a handful of dirt falling from the seams, and Jason felt his stomach turn. This was really happening. Again.
"Fuck,"
Dick breathed out, and he swore so rarely it reaffirmed exactly how dire Jason's situation was. "No kidding."
"But you have your phone?"
"Yeah."
"We'll trace it,"
Dick said confidently, just as Jason knew he would. "It's probably not going to work."
"We have to try."
Dick sounded determined, and Jason closed his eyes for a minute. He could imagine Dick standing on a rooftop somewhere, running through his options. The easiest one, the surest, and the least damaging to Jason's pride would be...
"Nightwing to Oracle. Oracle here. I need you to trace Jason's personal phone. Now."
Dick was abrupt. Something Jason didn't think he'd ever heard Dick be with Barbara. And there was a moment of affronted silence before the tapping of keys could be heard through the phone.
"What's he done?"
Barbara asked quietly. And Jason liked Babs, he honestly did, but way to believe the worst, Batgirl. Jason answered. "He is part of this little threesome, beautiful, so maybe more help and less judgment."
"Jay's in trouble, and I need to find him. According to his phone, he's in his apartment,"
Barbara said. Jason could tell she was wondering what the big emergency was.
"Is there any possibility..."
Jason laughed, somewhat hysterically. "There's no fucking way. I'm in a goddamn pine box, Dick. When I push at the roof, I'm eating dirt. Believe me, I know the signs of being buried alive. I'm not in my apartment." Jason could tell Dick was on the move. He wasn't sure how he knew. It wasn't like Dick was breathing hard, but he was definitely moving, heading in the direction of Jason's place. Jason didn't know where he was, but he would have bet his favorite bike he wasn't anywhere near his apartment. This was a waste of time, and maybe they'd think of some other way to track him, but... He became aware Dick was speaking to him.
Come on, Jay, I'm on my way. You're going to be fine.
Jason wanted to cry when he heard that strained optimism. Dick didn't quite believe it either, but they had nothing else to go on at the moment, and Jason was going to have to hang in there, at least until Dick made it to his apartment. There was a click on the line that Jason knew. Barbara wanted to talk to him, privately.
What are you mixed up in, Hood?
Barbara asked. Nothing, Jason said. Not that you'll believe me. Jason knew Dick and Barbara weren't hot and heavy anymore, but Babs was still fiercely protective when it came to Dick. Barbara was just one more person who felt Jason could never measure up to the great Dick Grayson.
You're trouble, Jason. You always have been.
Jason felt anger burning in his chest. You're actually blaming me for this? How the hell is this my fault?
Whatever you've gotten yourself into, you're going to drag Dick along.
Last time I checked, Dick's a big boy wonder.
Yes, but he would do anything for you, and you know it.
Kill someone? Jason shot back.
Almost anything,
Barbara corrected.
He considers you his brother. He loves you, and if you get him involved...
If I'd had anyone else to call, I would have, Jason said, letting anger override the panic he was feeling. So why don't you make yourself useful and see what the hell happened to your state-of-the-art security system that let someone walk into my apartment while I was sleeping? And where the fuck is Dick? Jason couldn't hear anything but computer noises, and he realized Dick must have been a lot farther away than Jason had initially thought. Otherwise, he would have been here by now, and maybe Barbara's little chat had distracted him from his situation. He still wasn't her biggest fan, and the feeling was obviously mutual.
Your security system's been off for hours.
That's impossible. I said it right before I went to bed.
Wrong. It's completely dead,
Barbara said.
You thought you said it. Someone circumvented the system, but made it look like everything was working.
Who could have done that?
Someone smart. They knew the footage uploaded to my server. All I've got is a shadowy figure in all black.
Isn't there something you can-
I'm trying to repurpose a camera from that rooftop dive bar near you. Dick's almost there. Other than that-
Barbara sounded almost apologetic, and suddenly Dick was back on the line. Breathing hard. He had clearly been running flat out across rooftops, and Jason hoped to God there was some kind of clue in his apartment as to where he'd been taken, because otherwise Dick was going to be crushed, and Jason was going to have to try Plan B. His knuckles were not looking forward to that. Barbara! Jason didn't care if he sounded desperate. He was. If there's something else you can try, do it!
We're assuming your phone's GPS data is accurate, and you're in your apartment.
Her voice said she didn't think Jason was there any more than Jason did. Dick was the only optimist in this group. How do we test that?
You'd have to take the SIM card out of the cell phone.
Jason let out a stuttery breath. He could feel sweat running down his face. That's going to cut us off.
It only has to be for a few seconds. Long enough for me to tell if the SIM card in the phone you have is the one we're receiving GPS data for.
What if the phone doesn't work after? What if... It was Dick who answered, and it was the same voice he used when he knew he was asking someone to do something frightening.
It'll work, little wing. You'll only be alone for a few seconds, and I'll call you right back. I promise.
Dick.
I promise. You're not going to be alone. I'm coming to get you, Jason.
Jason pulled in a deep breath and pushed down his fear. Batman had been coming to get Jason when Joker beat him and left him in a building rigged with explosives. Batman hadn't gotten there in time.
But this was Dick. And there was something in Dick's promises that made a person trust and believe. Dick was on his way, and he hadn't worn out all his chances like Batman had. Even if Jason wasn't at his apartment, Dick would figure something out. He'd find a clue to where Jason had been taken, and he'd rescue him before the air ran out. Okay. Jason could hear the shake in his own voice. I'm going to take out the SIM card. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Bye. Before he could change his mind, Jason popped the case off the phone, laying it carefully on his chest. He was going to be doing this blind. He took off the back of the phone, setting it beside the case, then extracted the battery and laid it beside the other parts. He slid the piece of metal holding the SIM card in place and carefully balanced the card on the end of his finger. It was about the size and weight of a contact lens. Jason counted to 10 in the darkness, then carefully reconstructed the phone, relieved when the screen lit up almost immediately with Dick's incoming call.
Are you okay?
Jason breathed and nodded, even though Dick couldn't see him. Yeah.
The phone says you're in your apartment,
Barbara says.
I've just about got the damn camera focused. I'm 2 blocks away,
Dick said.
Just hang in there.
The sound of clacking keys and a grapple firing were familiar and comforting as Jason lay in the dark and tried to figure out how he could be buried alive and still be in his apartment. It sounded like one of the Riddler's sick jokes. When is a dead man not a dead man? When is Jason Todd?
Oh my God,
Barbara exclaimed softly, and both Jason and Dick responded with, What?
There's a coffin in Jason's living room.
Dick heard Barbara's statement the same time he landed on the fire escape outside Jason's apartment. He slid the window open and eased inside.
Jason, can you hear me? I'm right here.
Get me the fuck out of here, Jason yelled, and Dick could hear pounding from inside the full-sized coffin that was sitting where there was usually a coffee table. There were a couple of shovelfuls of dirt on the lid.
There's a lock.
Dick ran his hands quickly around the seams of the coffin, checking for tripwires. When he didn't find any, he pulled out his lockpicks and set to work. He could hear Jason's harsh breathing through his earpiece, and Dick couldn't imagine the terror his little brother was feeling right then.
Okay, I've got it.
Dick cracked the lock open, pulled up the lid, and Jason was out of the box before Dick could even extend a hand to him. Fuck, Jason said, and bolted. He was across the room and out the window, bare feet clambering on the fire escape to the roof, before Dick could say a word.
Is he all right?
Barbara asked. He will be, Dick said quietly, following Jason to the roof. I'll take it from here, Barb. Thanks.
Dick?
Yeah?
Just be careful.
It's Jason.
Exactly.
There was a small click as Barbara signed off. Dick found Jason standing near the rooftop edge, shaking his limbs out as if to restore feeling to them. Dick's first impulse was to go to him, comfort him somehow, and he was within reaching distance, hands already extended, when Jason stopped him. Don't, Jason said, voice shaking, and now Dick could see the white face smudged with dirt, the fear and anger at war in Jason's expression. Dick stopped, but it almost physically hurt him to do it, knowing how much Jason was suffering and not being able to do anything about it. I just need a minute. It took everything Dick had to stand a few feet away, listening to Jason gulp in the chill night air as if he couldn't get enough. He looked so vulnerable, standing there in rumpled sleep pants and a threadbare Superman t-shirt, his feet bare, hair sticking up in all directions. When his breathing finally evened out and he hung his head, there was an almost imperceptible nod. Dick moved closer and put his arms around Jason's shoulders, pulling him in. Jason was taller and broader in every respect, but it didn't seem to matter as Jason dropped his head on Dick's shoulder and let Dick's arms encircle him. It was clear who the big brother was, and Dick was so grateful that Jason let him play the part, let him make up for some of the ways he hadn't been there when Jason had been a kid. "I've got you," Dick said softly, and felt Jason relax a fraction. Maybe the Red Hood was a total badass who didn't need anyone, but Jason Todd was still a pretty messed up, not quite kid who needed more than he'd ever admit. He needed his family, and Dick held on as long as Jason would let him. "I need a shower," Jason said suddenly, pulling away, and Dick let him go, knowing making Jason feel trapped wasn't going to help the situation any. "Are you... I'm staying until you grab that shower and a few things. And then we're getting the hell out of here." Jason nodded. "I've got a safe house. You're coming to my place." Dick held up a hand. "No arguments. Someone got close enough to kill you tonight, and until we know who, you're not staying alone." Dick expected a protest, but it didn't come. Instead, he got a quiet, "Okay," which told Dick more about Jason's state of mind than anything else. He was scared, and it took a hell of a lot to scare Jason. An hour later, Jason let Dick push him into bed and pull the covers up around him. "If you try to kiss me on the forehead, I will punch you in the face," Jason said sincerely. They had already had the "I'll take the couch" argument, which nobody won, and Jason finally gave up as Dick manhandled him into the monstrosity Dick called a bed. They could have easily slept four, so Jason figured the two of them could manage. He felt less lightheaded. Whatever they'd knocked him out with must have been wearing off, but whenever he closed his eyes, he felt the darkness closing in around him. "You want me to leave the light on?" Dick asked. "No," Jason said, even though it was tempting. He'd slept with the light on for months after he'd crawled out of his grave the first time. But he wasn't about to admit to needing a nightlight to Nightwing. The light clicked off, and the bed barely moved as Dick got in. "You want something so you can sleep?" Dick asked, and Jason hated how perceptive he was. The thought of a peaceful, dreamless sleep was tempting. "Nah," Jason said, trying to brush off how much he wanted to say yes. He was also paranoid enough to want to keep his wits about him. Dick had poured him two fingers of scotch without asking as soon as they'd gotten to Dick's place, and Jason had downed it gratefully and taken a second hit when it was offered. Dick hadn't even said anything when Jason had lit up a cigarette and nervously puffed at it a half dozen times before stubbing it out in the sink. Sure, it was a bad habit, the Robins kept telling him that, but he didn't think today was a good day to think about quitting. Jason rolled onto his side, facing away from Dick, as far away from his brother as he could get and still be in the same bed. "I'll be fine. We're safe here, Jay."
"Yeah? I don't mean to be a downer, but that's what I thought about my apartment."
"Believe me, we've got the best security possible."
"Oh, great," Jason thought. All he needed was Batman standing guard outside, as if this whole experience wasn't humiliating enough. And Barbara would definitely be checking in on them with her peekaboo tag. Maybe she wouldn't abuse the all-access pass she had to Dick's life, but she certainly wasn't above a little friendly spying for the greater good. Jason didn't know how Dick explained the camera in the bedroom to girls he brought back here, but maybe Dick liked girls who were into that kind of thing.
Grayson was always a bit of an exhibitionist. Jason had checked his place pretty thoroughly after his own security system went in, just to make sure there weren't any unexpected cameras he hadn't approved. His bedroom was a camera-free zone. Dick's hand suddenly gripped Jason's shoulder, and Jason hadn't heard him move. Not a good sign. He was definitely off his game tonight.
No one's going to get to you while I'm alive,
Dick said with conviction. And the thought wasn't as comforting as it was meant to be. Now Jason had a lump in his throat. Visions of a dead Nightwing bloodied and bruised and laid out in front of him. What would Bruce think of him then, if he got Dick killed? Jason laughed, roughly. Let's just make sure no one gets to any of us, okay? Got that, Spy Girl? Jason could have sworn the security camera in the corner nodded at him, its red light a strangely reassuring presence in the dark. Dick gave him plenty of room, but Jason was acutely aware of his presence, and surprisingly, it helped. He wasn't alone. Dick would have his back, and so would Barbara, and Bats, the replacement, and even Robin, although Jason didn't want the two younger boys anywhere near this mess. If someone was gunning for him, then they could come after him. Anyone laid a hand on those kids? Jason wasn't sure he could stick to his policy of kneecaps and shoulders. I might wake you up, Jason said into the darkness. He hated admitting it, but he figured Dick should have some idea what he might be in for. It's okay. I still get nightmares. I know. Jason didn't even need to qualify what he was saying. Dick knew. Nightmares about his first death, about being buried alive, about clawing his way out of his coffin. Green-tinged nightmares of the damn Lazarus pit and the demons he feared lurked in his soul because of it. And regular, everyday nightmares where he couldn't save someone, usually the kid or Tim, but sometimes it was Dick, or even Bruce. At least those were the kind of bad dreams they all had, not just him. Go to sleep, Jaybird, Dick said, and squeezed his shoulder. We've got you. Mother hen, Jason said softly, but didn't protest when Dick left his hand close enough that Jason could feel the tips of Dick's fingers against his back. Barbara felt, rather than heard, the presence behind her. I was wondering when you'd show up. How are they? Secure for the night. Barbara tapped the screen that showed two dark-haired men asleep on opposite sides of a huge bed. There was a real-time clock in a corner of the screen. No one was going to get looped video past her again. Jason's pretty restless, though. Was all Batman said. What did you find out? There aren't any hits out on Red Hood as near as I can tell. You don't trust him, Batman observed. Neither do you. Batman gave a minimalist shrug. I don't trust anyone. Show me who did this. Barbara pulled up the footage of the lone, black-garbed figure circumventing Jason's security system. There was roughly 15 seconds of data before the person had cut the feed and slipped in a loop of the empty living room. It wasn't uncommon for Jason's place to sit empty during the day. Barbara hadn't noticed anything peculiar. Everything had shown as functioning normally. She was going to have to install alarms specifically against tampering. Moving a full-size coffin is not a one-person job, Barbara offered. When Batman wasn't forthcoming. They were very sure of what they were doing. The drug must have been administered while Jason was asleep, and its effects had to have been near instantaneous or he would have fought. Something would have been disturbed. I could find no traceable evidence. That in itself said they weren't dealing with amateurs or run-of-the-mill thugs. Someone who left no evidence behind had knowledge and training. They were dangerous. Keep a close eye on them, Batman said, heading for the window. It's not true, you know, Barbara said. There are some of us you trust. Dick, Alfred, Tim, my father. But Jason's always been a wild card. And you resent Dick's renewed relationship with him. Barbara bristled. I just don't want to see Dick get hurt. You know how he is. He opens himself up to people, and he inevitably gets his heart ripped to shreds. Jason's not the type to be careful with someone. Batman paused, looking once at the screen where Jason tossed fitfully. In his sleep, Dick rolled over and reached out a hand, laying it on Jason's arm, quieting him. I think you underestimate them. Both of them. I hope you're right, Barbara whispered to an empty room. I really hope you're right. Jason felt as if he were sleepwalking through the next few days. He was exhausted, paranoid, and Dick's attempts to cheer him up were starting to get on his nerves. Enough! Jason yelled, after Dick's third attempt to get Jason interested in a television movie. Is there any reason we can't go on patrol? Are we grounded? Dick looked guilty. We're not sure who's got it in for you. We're waiting till I go insane? Because that's what's going to happen if I have to stay cooped up here much longer. Jason flopped onto the couch beside Dick. Please, Dick. I need to do something. Punch some bad guys. Shoot someone. Jay. In the leg, or the shoulder. Nothing fatal, I promise. Jason didn't even have to work at putting on a pitiful expression. I won't even take the guns. I'll use your stupid sticks. Or just my fists. Please. I'm dying here. Dick's face went sober. 3 days ago, someone could have killed you. We have no idea who or why. Doesn't that make you the least bit worried about going back out there? Jason shrugged. If they wanted me dead, they would have killed me. They didn't. They didn't want information or ransom or anything at all, it seems. So I think I'm probably safe. We don't know. I think it's Scarecrow. Jason said finally, admitting out loud what he'd been thinking since it happened. I think he wants payback for that little episode in the sewer tunnels. Dick just looked at him. It's not exactly his style. There was no evidence of fear gas. Didn't need it, Jason admitted quietly. Maybe he's in on it with someone. Not exactly like villain team-ups are out of the question. True, but I think we need to be careful until we know what we're dealing with. Jason stared at Dick in disbelief. If that's the criteria for hitting the streets, neither of us will ever be able to leave this apartment again. Come on, we'll be together. You said it yourself. Nothing's going to happen to me when you're with me. Jason, don't make me beg. Dick let out a frustrated sigh and got off the couch, cuffing Jason lightly on the side of the head. Don't make me regret this. Get your gear on. The first night out, nothing happened. Nightwing and Red Hood broke up a couple of gang fights, stopped a few muggings, and rescued a really wet, angry cat from a sewer grate. That was not a friendly animal, Jason said. He put an inch-deep scratch in my hood, and you've got blood on your face. Dick swiped at his bloody cheek. He wasn't as grateful as I would have expected under the circumstances. They looked at each other, the cat still hissing at them from a few feet away, and burst into laughter. It was good to laugh, and some of the tension Jason had been carrying started to slip away. Where to next, bro?